Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Apostle Paul asked for prayer concerning unreasonable and wicked men, quote unquote, that he and those who ministered with him, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. This is a short message here with a few minutes together, my friend, but I want to encourage you to take hold of this golden nugget of truth that could really keep you out of a lot of heartache. And many people I've spoken with and that I know that are at least 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, all testify to somewhere in their life somebody taking something they found out about them and using it against them. And Jesus spoke about this, and we're going to talk about how our Lord addressed and instructed us in this very matter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, the apostle writes, quote, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." Here's the things that Paul asked for prayer about. Pray for us, number one, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Paul knew who he was speaking with concerning the Thessalonican believers, or the disciples of Jesus in the area or the town of Thessalonica, and therefore he entrusted them to pray for him, that the word of the Lord through the apostle and those who labored with him would be glorified, may have free course. In other words, that it made great inroads into the darkened hearts of men, and that God would prepare those hearts to receive the word of God so they could be like the number 4 soil in the parable of the sower, Luke 8, 12 through 15, that brought forth fruit with patience and glorified God. Hallelujah. So he asked for prayer from godly disciples of Jesus, that they would pray that the word of the Lord that spoken through Paul and those who ministered with him would have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. In other words, that it would be received in the hearts of other men as it was with these Thessalonians. Verse 2, and that we may be delivered. Watch this. This is the next part of his prayer. He asked them to pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. So Paul prays specifically that he would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And that is very interesting in light of the fact of what our Lord said in the 7th chapter of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, let's look at verse 6. Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Now, friend, I want you to get a hold of what Christ our Lord is saying in this verse and begin to meditate on it. First of all, Jesus is giving us instructions, and it's for our protection. I love Psalm chapter 17. Verse 4, which says, "By the word of thy lips," David was talking to the Lord, "by the word of thy lips," by the word of God, "I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer." God will keep you out of a lot of heartache and misery if you'll follow his instructions. Jesus says, do not give that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. That is, spiritual pigs, people who will not receive the word of God and who are rebellious against the Lord, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. Notice the words dogs and swine. Give that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Apparently, Jesus is identifying spiritual, unrepentant people who are hardened in their hearts, who love darkness rather than light, and do not want to receive the truth. These are those the same as what Paul called unreasonable and wicked men. Unreasonable. They won't reason according to the conscience God gave them to convict them, the Holy Spirit, or the Word of God, or they won't take warning. And Jesus says, don't give to them. Don't give that which is holy. You've already ministered to them. That's fine. That's good. The blood is off your hands. Ezekiel speaks about if you've delivered the warning, the blood is off your hands and you're free from that situation. Somehow, most of us, especially in our younger, less mature years, until the Lord really begins to mature us, we have this some kind of what I call a false obligation to continue, and we feel like we need to continue to minister to family or friends that have rejected the Word of God long ago. And these are the people, I don't care how well you love them or I love them, these people are dogs. These people are spiritual swine. They're not interested in the Word of God. They're self-serving. And I didn't say the Lord isn't going to save some up later on, but it's not your responsibility or mine to continue to badger them or feel like we got to keep giving them the Word. Listen, when the opportunity presents itself, fine, but we need to be delivered from the idea that we need to keep chasing people around. God's not chasing them, so why would we? Jesus shook off the dust of his feet and moved to other cities when the people of certain cities rejected him. And he actually commanded us to do that. He said, you shake off the dust of your feet against people that will not receive the truth. There are too many people out there that want the truth. There are going to be noble believers who are going to receive with meekness the engrafted word. And so don't worry about it continuing. In fact, just don't. Obey God and don't give your pearls to the swine. Don't cast them before swine. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs. And so may the Lord deliver us from this false obligation and thinking that we have to continue to minister to those who have rejected the Word of God. And sometimes we'll find is that these unreasonable and wicked men, quote unquote, that Paul speaks of, will be the very dogs in the swine that we stay in contact with. The devil's always trying to use his children to use guilt trip against Christians and make them feel like they have to somehow love these people so much that they continue to let them hang around. But that's not what Jesus taught. He said, if they don't receive the Word of God, then you're to shake off the dust of your feet and proceed to others who will. One evangelist of old said something I really like. He said, quote, no person on earth deserves to hear the gospel twice until everyone has heard it once. So keep in mind, friend, that God doesn't require that we continue to give the Word of God, that which is holy. It's the pearls of God. It's the jewels, the treasure. It comes out of the treasure chest of Holy Scripture to those who will not receive it. That doesn't mean we need to have some mean or rude attitude toward them, but the blood is off our hands once we've delivered the warning. The Bible tells us in the third chapter of the book of Titus that we're to reject certain people. And who would that be? Notice Jesus, through Paul, his apostle, is giving us instruction and the command to reject certain people. Now, who would that be? Verse 10, a man that is a heretic. After the first and second admonition, reject. Doesn't say let them hang around and try to reason with them. It says reject them. God's calling us to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And he's going to do that through the full counsel of his blessed written precepts, his word. Amen. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let me read it again, verse 10 and 11 of Titus 3. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. I've let people in my life personally, and perhaps some of you can relate to this, for longer than I was supposed to let them in my life. Red flags were springing up in all kinds of directions, and yet I continue to, with long suffering and with good intention even, thinking that I was supposed to show mercy on them. And we ought to have, be long-suffering and forbearing with the brethren, but there are false brethren among them. And I think this message here should quicken you and I to begin to pray that the Lord gives us the discerning of spirit so we see from a lot further off, a lot further distance, who people really are, whether they really have the fruit of the Spirit in their life, one of them being goodness, being good in heart, not having evil intentions. There are people that will actually come into your life to try to gather info, whether it be true or false, and to use against you. That's how Satan uses them. They come into your life to try to find information. You'll serve these people, you'll do nothing but give to them, give the word, give money, give food to them, and yet they turn again and rend you. So don't feel obligated to stay in relationship with someone that you have doubts about, that you have thoroughly discerned is not receiving the word of God and not growing in the grace of God. That means they're not abiding in Christ. They're going to be thrown into the fire. God doesn't require you to hang around and continue to go back to them. We have a false definition of love, all of us do, because it's not defined by the full counsel of Him who is love, the Word of God. We don't see Paul or Jesus walking around being a sap, feeling like they need to be loving to everybody. Some of us try to be kinder than Jesus was. Jesus went through the temple and destroyed it, threw things down and broke out his whip that he made in John 2, Matthew 21. That wasn't real kind, but this is the divine person of the eternal Word of God, the Messiah, who is love, and that's what he did. That's what was called for.
That's exactly what the situation warranted and called for.
Open rebuke is better than secret love, the scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5 and 6. Paul also, here's an example, he goes to Galatia, and he sees what Peter's doing, and he rebukes Peter in front of all of them for his dissimulation. And this is from one apostle to the other, openly and publicly rebuking Peter for being carried away with the dissimulation of the Judaizers and acting like and teaching and following with those who said that the Gentiles needed to keep the law to be saved, which any biblical student knows that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So we don't see the Apostle Paul going in there and soft pedaling anything. And I'm not saying we need to run around and openly, publicly rebuke people like that all the time. I am saying, though, that we don't see Jesus and his apostles acting like saps, as so many in the church believe the love really means. It doesn't necessarily manifest itself in a softness all the time. In fact, a lot of times it's just the opposite. Look what Jesus told a certain sorcerer named Elimaeus and to Paul in Acts 13. Paul said, "O full of all subtlety," that means deception and deceit, he tells this guy, "thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Wow, if you rebuke somebody like that today, a false teacher, of which there are many, today people will be so-called Christian people will jump all over you and tell you you're unloving. So anyway, be careful, friend. I'm going to close this out, but I want to encourage you to be very careful concerning those that you divulge intimate details of your life about. Make sure you have sound brothers in your life, if you're a brother, and sisters in your life that are truly following the Lord and are sound in the faith, and anything you share with them that you might feel you need to confess or get out into the light will be secure with them and you and God. Just wanted to encourage you with that so that you can be protected by the truth of the Lord.
And remember that twice, two times in the New Testament canon, the words false brethren appear, 2 Corinthians 11 and Galatians 2, verse 4. Again, false brethren. There are perils, as Paul put it, among false brethren. And so we must be aware of the false brethren in our midst, which is a reality according to the New Testament testimony and record.
God bless you, friend. Feel free to visit safeguardyoursoul.com.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world, and may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.